Our sermon today, the reading picks up from what we heard earlier from Luke, chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. Then there appeared to Zechariah an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe in my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur." God, thank you for the angels you send to us with your messages of hope and possibility. The Advent theme this year is going to be angels all around. Angels are all over the Christmas story. There's the angel Gabriel, who appeared to Zechariah and later to Mary. There are the angels who came to Joseph in two different dreams. There is the angel choir that appeared to the shepherds on the night of Jesus' birth to announce the good news of the Savior's arrival. I have a little praise chorus I'd like to sing, and I hope you all learn it too as we go through Advent, so maybe you'll sing it with me as I begin each sermon with it. It goes, "All night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, angels watching over me." You want to try that? Try it. Okay. "All night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, angels watching over me." Oh, good job. Thank you. Thank you. The angel in today's story was Gabriel, God's special messenger. And that's what the word angel means, messenger. What would you do if you ever encountered an angel? They seem to appear in the most unexpected places at the most unexpected times. And almost every time an angel appears to someone in the Bible, the first thing the angel says is, "Fear not. Don't be afraid of me. Yes, I'm huge and bright as the sun." And yeah, some angels come and bring plagues and other woes, but don't be afraid of me. "I am bringing you good news," Gabriel says to Zechariah. He then outlines a very detailed prophecy about Zechariah's soon-to-be son. Zechariah and Elizabeth and many others would rejoice at John's birth, specifically because Elizabeth had been childless for so long and had been enduring the shame of barrenness. But the birth of their son would change all that. Their shame and their sorrow would be erased and replaced with happiness. The child would be great in the sight of the Lord. Even before his birth, he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Gabriel threw in some terse instructions about how to raise the coming child properly. He must never drink wine or strong drink, Gabriel stressed. The prophecy of assurance tells Zechariah exactly what John would do. He would turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He would have the power and the spirit of Elijah and go before him. Before whom? Before the Messiah. John would be the promised herald of the arrival of the long-awaited Messiah. John would turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Yes, Zechariah's son was going to be the one who would announce the coming of the Messiah to the people. Isn't that great, Zechariah? Isn't that wonderful news? Of course it is. But what was Zechariah's reaction to this great news? A touch of scorn and a big dose of doubt. "How am I supposed to know that for sure?" he says. The angel Gabriel was actually insulted by the question. Don't you know who I am? He said. I'm Gabriel, dude. Gabriel. I stand right there beside God. I am ever in God's own presence. That's why I'm so bright. I shine with God's light. I hear God's plans, and I bring the message God instructs me to bring, no more, no less. This message is one of truth and hope and redemption. Do you think I'm making it up? Do you think I would compromise a message that comes directly from God? How dare you doubt? Doubting Gabriel, who'd come straight from God's heavenly realm to the temple, was tantamount to doubting God. Just for that, Gabriel said, I'm going to give you a sign that this will happen, but you're not going to like this sign. I don't trust you to share this wonderful news with other people without being snarky and sowing doubt, so I'm going to make you moot. You're not going to be able to say a word until this prophecy is fulfilled. That will teach you to doubt. And that is exactly what happened. Zechariah was rendered mute and deaf until after his son was born. How many times have I heard and preached on this story? And yet, as so often happens, I found something new to astound me in it. The priestly order of Abijah was a schedule of when the different priests would serve in the temple. There were so many priests, they had to divide them into 24 courses. There were so many priests, almost 20,000 of them, that over their lifetimes, they would only get to do certain duties, such as taking the incense into the holy place just once, just one time in their whole lives as priests. The altar of incense stood just in front of the veil that divided the outer sanctuary from the Holy of Holies, the place where only the high priest went once a year on the Day of Atonement. This was the only time Zechariah would ever perform the duty of bringing in the incense, which was a symbol of the prayers of the people rising up to God. Think about that. Just once in his whole life. And as Zechariah himself said, he was an old man. He would never do this sacred task ever, ever again. And this one time when he did it, the one and only time he did it, he met the angel Gabriel. Over the eons, priests had been making this offering, and at this one exact time, God sent Zechariah a message. It was time for the Messiah to arrive. All those years of waiting, and God was now saying the time was right. And Zechariah, carrying the prayers of the people into the holy place, would be an important part of the fulfillment of God's promise to send to the world a Savior. Was it coincidence that the lot fell to Zechariah on that particular day? Was it coincidence that on that particular day, Zechariah was chosen to perform the once-in-a-lifetime duty of taking the incense into the sanctuary? Coincidence? We know there are no coincidences, just God's surprises. And there were plenty of wonderful surprises for Zechariah that day. Zechariah's name means remembered by Jehovah. God did not forget him. God was not ignoring his prayer for a child. God was waiting for the right time to answer that prayer because God had great plans for Zechariah and Elizabeth's son. There were many surprises in store for Zechariah that day, an angel, a son, an answer to a prayer he and Elizabeth had prayed for so long and had probably given up at long last. Being mute and deaf, learning that at long last God had decided the time was right to send the Messiah and also to send the one who would be a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The time had been divinely chosen. It was the right time, the fullness of time, to answer Zechariah's prayer and set the plan of salvation in motion. So what does Zechariah teach us? How does he prepare us for our own angelic encounters? First and foremost, we learn, listen to the angel and don't doubt him or her. Listen to the message that the angel has for you. Take it into your heart and into your hearing. Note to self, don't make an angel mad. Apparently, Gabriel had the power and the authority to make Zechariah unable to speak and hear, to punish him for his doubt. Apparently, angels can do that sort of thing, so don't make angels mad. And remember, at just the right time, in just the right way, God will answer your most heartfelt prayer. At just the right time, in just the right way, God will send the message you need to hear. And having received that message, your next task is to believe it and share it. As we wait for the return of Jesus into this world, we need to keep that in mind. He first came at just the right time, the first time, and he will come again at just the right time. Meanwhile, we remember the moment when the angel came to Zechariah and made him part of God's great plan for all people. Of course, Zechariah wasn't expecting to run into an angel. It had been about 400 years since there had been any divine revelation from above. The silence was deafening. People probably just thought, remember how God was always sending us angels and prophets? Yeah, wasn't that cool? How come God's not doing that anymore? I guess God's done with us. The people were resigned to the mundaneness of uninspired living, but God wasn't. The silence of heaven was at last broken. God still had a lot to say. God still has a lot to say. Let us listen and watch and pray and wait and go forth to share God's message with the angelic light from God shining all around us. Let us pray. Send us your angels, Lord. Assure us that our prayers are heard and our long wait is over and our faithful watch and witness will be rewarded. May we carry your message of hope and redemption and salvation into the world, for we are not mute. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to us to be the light of love that we need. Amen.